JamesMrRobPunk.com. This is a wonderful solo show because Mike and I are lazy bastards. Not always, but sometimes on the day that we usually record is Saturdays, and Saturdays are jam-packed with stuff. Because of the funky way that I'm fucking rambling already. So I work nights at my nighttime job, at my job that's not Survival Punk. So I work nights, and I know a couple of you guys, also work nights. It kind of fucks your days off up. So I'm off Friday and Saturday. And by off Friday, what I mean is I get off Friday morning at 7, and that's my day off. So if I've got modafinil, I'll take that and then I'll be up all day. Otherwise, I have to toss in a nap, or sometimes I try to stay up and then I pass out and then I'm asleep all day and then I'm up all night. So generally, Saturdays are my only day off. Mike is off that day. I'm trying to squeeze in laundry, cheat day. It's a busy day, so sometimes if the shit doesn't hit right, then we don't get to record. So that's a long explanation saying that that's why you have a wonderful solo show this week. Mike and I will be back hopefully next week, because this weekend I have a date with Serenity, and Mike and Andrea will also be going. We're going to the Renaissance Fair in Nashville. It's Pirate Day. That's awesome. Arg. So it's going to be fun. Hopefully I'm going to try to squeeze in a podcast Friday night. And it will be on medical procedures to do before the shit hits the fan. So a fun topic. Well, maybe a not fun topic, but an important topic. And it's one that you should think about. Today's episode, however, though, is on wild edibles, something that I really like. And being that it's spring, starting to weasel into summer pretty soon, it's pretty much like wild edible season. Like, a lot of the stuff is coming out right now. So I like to get out there and try wild edibles. And I have books on it. I'm going to give you a warning. I'm not a doctor. And I'm not a forger expert. And obviously, if you listen to a podcast, you're like, oh, that's totally that plant James from Survival Punk was talking about. Eat it and die. I'm not responsible. Do not go eat anything that I say. Do your research. Get a book. I have several books. Go to the Eat the Weeds website. Watch Green Dean's videos. We've talked about the books before in the past. I can't look over there. I have several, and there's some really good ones out there. I was trying to look over and see a title. I might throw in some titles in the show notes for you can go find them on Amazon and whatnot. So yeah, don't just take my word for it. Get out there, look, and then try to identify. Another one of the resources that I use, and I'm really rambling today, another one of the resources I use is Facebook plant identification groups. They tend to be pretty good on identifying a lot of stuff. There's an app for cell phones now, PlantNet. I'm not going to lie, it kind of sucks. I've not had a whole lot of luck with it. I think I've identified one out of like three things, maybe. So I'm not super impressed with it. It still needs work, or my photography is really bad. So that could be a resource that you could use. But like I said, warning: don't go eating whatever I say. Research it and then try. I tend not to research that much, but I eat things that I'm positive about. So, like, we'll talk about it probably later. The pine tree has like 7 edible parts on it. There's no like fake pine tree. Like, there's no pseudo pine tree. If it looks like a pine tree, it's a pine tree, and they're like, you can basically eat almost everything on it. So, you know, certain things I'm sure about. If I'm iffy about it, then I'll, you know, consult the book, and then I'll follow the universal edibility test. But if you're positive, then I'm not going to tell you that you can't eat it. So, you know, that's your choice. You got to take it. So let's get into today's show before I ramble the entire episode away. So first, try looking online to, or, you know, online's probably the best, like Meetup and stuff or Facebook to find local experts. And a lot of times they'll do like guided tours, you know, for minimal money, like 10, 20 bucks or whatever to, you know, walk around like this is blah, blah, blah. You can eat it. You can eat this part at this time of the year prepared this way. That's your best bet is to find a local expert. You'll be able to ask some questions. They'll be able to tell you about stuff. And seeing it, you know, having them point it out and be like, this, you know, is a sumac. And this, you can, you know, make a sort of lemonade tea out of the berries. That's way better than looking at a picture in a book and be like, I think that might be it. Maybe that's it. Bam, you're dead. We don't want bam deads. So, local expert, number one, best. And I've seen them on, if you go, like, there's a website and app called Meetup. You look for, like, plant identification. You'll find tours. So that's a good thing if you have it in your area. If you live in bumfuck Egypt and the closest one is like 4,000 miles away, probably not the best option for you. There are online resources and there are books, and you can try it that way. I've done a lot of that, so there's that. And like I said, eat the weeds and some of the books like foraging and stuff. They work well. Jordan the cat is going crazy. He wants to play with the laser, and I'm doing a podcast instead. So before you eat anything, don't guess. Properly identify it. Don't just be like, oh, this kind of looks like that. I think this is it. No. You identify that. And to borrow the method used by Green Dean from Eat the Weeds website and YouTube channel, we're going to use the itemize way. So it's an acronym for item, I-T-E-M. I, first it means identify the plant beyond a doubt. Use everything at your you know, disposal. Identify the leaves, the stems, the root, whatever. Whatever you're eating, like, make sure everything matches. T is next, and that's make sure it's growing or fruiting or otherwise available at the right time of year. So, and that falls under the properly identified with it beyond a, you know, shadow of doubt. If you find something and you, like, the book says, or your guide says, it's not supposed to fruit for, you know, more months, it might not be what you're looking for. Just keep that in mind. Next is E. Check out the environment. This involves two things. One is making sure that it's growing in the right place. So things like mullein, which has some medicinal uses. I don't know them. I just know that it's really good to wipe your ass with because it feels like velvet. Mullein, for example, likes to grow in disturbed soil. So, like, if you see do you see a place that was bulldozed or just really torn up, a lot of times in that area, so like on like driveways and stuff that were recently put in, sometimes you'll see mullein sprouting up there. That's because it likes that disturbed bad soil. Beside, like, sometimes when I'm driving along the interstate, I'll see mullein on the side, you know, where it's junk, like it's trying to come back into forest, but it's not, so it's being held in between. And back to E, the other is making sure that the plant is getting clean water and is not in polluted soil. So if you see the plant and you've identified it and everything else is fine and you look next to it and there's like a toxic waste barrel spilling ooze into it, probably don't want to eat that one. You know, if you see clear contamination, you know, empty chemical bottles, just if you get that feeling, you look at it and you're like, I just don't really, you know, like it looks like something like people are dumping like motor oil here, or, you know, it smells bad and chemically, like, don't do it. Lastly is M, and that is for the preparation method. So the proper method of preparation. Just throw it out there. What is it? Pokeweed. Pokeweed, you've got to boil the young shoots twice. So you have to boil them, pour off the water, boil them again before they're edible. Acorns, you've got to basically wash multiple times to get the tannins out of. So you have to know that proper method before you can eat it. If you try to eat pokeweed without boiling it, you may die or get really sick. So make sure you know how to prepare it. And I would throw it, I don't want to ruin his list, you know, make sure you know what part that you could eat. So, you know, it's the tender shoots of the pokeweed, not the leaves. Or is it leaves? No, the young leaves. Yeah, the berries. There's no way to prepare the berries. Boiling the berries twice will still not make them edible. After you've itemized everything, so you know, you're like, okay, bam, this is pokeweed. Or you're in pretty much all of North America and you find a yaupon holly, also the Ilex vomitoria. You've identified it. You know for sure this is the yaupon holly. You know, and you're going to try it. You're going to make some, you know, tea out of it because it is caffeinated and it grows wild everywhere here in the United States. I've not found it here in Tennessee, but I'm going to try planting some seeds. So you want to try it. Don't go overboard. So after you've identified it, don't go hog wild and be like, oh, I'm going to brew up a fucking gallon of this shit and drink it. The Latin name for it, Ilex vomitoria, is named so because it induces vomiting in some people. Especially in larger amounts, which is weird because I actually tend to throw up fairly easily. Like it's sort of how I got my nickname, Sick One. So if you're friends with me on Facebook, James Sick One Burnett, the Sick One is not actually my birth middle name. It's a nickname that I've had since high school, and it's because I am a professional thrower-upper. Like, it's weird, but I actually used to throw up a lot as a teenager. So I kind of got that name. And I've drank. I had a listener one time, or a reader, send me some prepared leaves, because you have to dry them out, of the yaupon holly. And I drank it all. Not at one go. But I drank, you know, over like a week or two, a couple weeks. You know, morning time, you know, I'd alternate between like coffee or, you know, the yaupon holly tea. And I didn't have any stomach discomfort, didn't have any issues. I got a good, you know, sort of caffeine, get up and go. I don't want to say buzz. Like, it's not like Death Wish coffee where like one cup made my head pound. And I'm like, oh God, it's so caffeinated. No, you know, it was good. Got me going, and it did not make me sick. Some people, it will induce vomiting. So, you know, try a little bit to make sure that you don't have adverse reactions to it. I mean, even if it's something that doesn't produce vomiting in people, you know, like Mike's wife is deathly allergic to lavender. I don't know if I should say that on air, but I'm sure none of you guys are going to try to kill her. You guys are all good. But, you know, like, so if she didn't know that, and or you didn't know that, and you're trying to, like, you know, try some lavender or whatever plant, you know, your throat could start swelling up and stuff. So, you know, try a little bit, see, oh, I'm breaking out. And then next is the universal edibility test. And I get excited about stuff sometimes, and I'm just, this may be a short episode just because I can't slow down. I'm fucking psyched about wild edibles, and I hope you are too. So next is something that you'll see in every single survival book you'll ever get. And if you've bought several survival books, like I have, you know, I've got a fucking bookcase full of survival manuals. Most of them are all copied off of the old, like, military-filled survival manual. And so they'll have the same information over and over. And in all of them, you'll always find the universal edibility test. James, what is a universal edibility test? Well, it's a set of rules to help you consume wild edibles you have not identified. So we started out by telling you that you should identify everything you eat. The universal edibility test is for when you're fucked and you need to identify something. So this is a last-ditch method. Remember this if you're stranded and going to die. Oh, I had to have a drink of my Earl Grey tea. Bulletproof style. So, first, separate the plant into its various parts. Roots, stems, leaves, buds, flowers. Focus on only one piece of the plant at a time. Next, smell it. A strong or unpleasant odor is a bad sign. On top of that, just to expand on that, certain smells are sort of indicative of poisonous plants. If you smell a plant and it smells like almonds and it's not an almond, don't eat it. That's a good indicator. If it smells like onions and it's not an onion, not ramp, not wild garlic, not one of those, not in that family that I forget, the onion family, the Allen, and anyway, I'm sure like there's one dude out in the audience going, "Motherfucker, it's this!" You're yelling at the fucking like iPod or your phone or whatever right now. Yeah, I know. It slipped my mind. I'm pretty sure it begins with A. A Lunyon or Allen something. That family of you know onions and wild onions. If it smells like that and it's not, don't eat it. You know, if you smell a stem or something of something without a bulb onion root on it, don't eat it. I think there's another one, but I can't remember it. And that same dude's yelling at the screen again, "Oh, is that you, motherfucker?" Anyway. Next, test for contact poisoning by placing a piece of the plant on your inner elbow or wrist for a few minutes. If your skin burns, itches, feels numbs, or breaks out in a rash, don't eat it. Pretty self-explanatory. If you did that with lavender on Mike's wife, she would break out. Don't eat it. I can't imagine eating lavender anyway, personally. If the plant passes the skin test, prepare a small portion of the way you plan to eat it. Boiling is always a good bet. Before taking a bite, touch the plant to your lips to test for burning or itching. Being that, you know, your lips or tongue would be more sensitive. If there's no reaction after 15 minutes, take a small bite, chew it, hold it in your mouth for 15 minutes. If the plant tastes very bitter or soapy, spit it out. I'm willing to bet if you tried quinoa wild, it would have a soapy flavor because it has saponins in it. On the other thing, though, if you do taste something and it's soapy, it may be, I think it's called soapweed, which you can wash your hair with. So keep it for that. But don't eat it. Don't eat the soapweed. Spit it out. Lastly, if there's no reaction in your mouth, that's what she said, swallow the bite and wait several hours. If there's no ill effects, you can assume that this part of the plant is edible. Repeat the test for other parts of the plant. Some plants have both edible and inedible parts. That is correct. And you know what? I'll have a link because I think I got this from backpacker.com. Yes, I did. I will put the link in there. I found a couple articles on it and everything was splitting it into several things. And I'm like, it's just like a couple paragraphs. Just put it there and let me read it, idiots. So backpacker.com, thank you. You did a good job. We're doing really well on time because I'm talking so fast. So that's that. I take I take next level precautions when it comes to foraging for mushrooms. So by next level, I mean I've never foraged for wild mushrooms. They give me the hibbly jibblies, and it's easy to misidentify things. And I came across an article that I'm gonna share with you from Mother Earth News. And I suggest that you follow the link in the show notes. It'll be at episode 102. So survivalpunk.com/episode102. No minus signs. Episode 102. One word, all lowercase. That I need to get put up as soon as I get done talking to you guys, because I'm a day late. But so it's a guide to hunting morels. And I definitely suggest you look at it, look at the pictures, study it, print it out. If you decide to go, which apparently it's a good time right now to go hunting for morels. And I very well might do it whenever I get a day. I don't know. I was like, Saturday? No, I'll be busy Saturday. So this comes from Mother Earth News, a guide to hunting for morel mushrooms. And let us go through. There's pictures. That will be important. It's a short article. I definitely don't want you to go out there and be like, well, James said these look like an avocado fucked an older avocado. So that's definitely it. No, don't listen to that. Don't go out there and look for wrinkly avocados. The guide to her hunting morel mushrooms will help you find these delicious gourmet treats. I've never even had them. Mushroom hunting can be a wonderful, healthy outdoor experience to share with family and friends. But the thrill of the hunt is only half the enjoyment. Its delicious, earthy, nutty, steak-like flavor makes the morel mushroom the number one target of wild mushroom hunters across North America. The 24 choices wild mushrooms on this continent have a wide variety of flavors, blah, blah, blah. When and where to hunt the morel mushrooms. I don't need to go through all that other stuff. Morels appear throughout the continent in spring. Trees are just beginning to bud, so relatively unfiltered sunlight warms the earth directly. This triggers the appearance of a number of wildflowers, trillium, phlox, trout lily, Dutchman's breeches, violets, wild strawberries, love wild strawberries, and many more. These flowers, along with the temperature, are indicators of when to look for morels. The where isn't quite as simple. Where the spores fall, cross-pollinate, and germinate is basically where morels will grow. After a five-year cycle of nutrient gathering and storage, black morels, which appear first, tend to be more exclusively in hardwood forests, but not around any particular type of tree. Finding them is often like connect the dots game. When you find one, be still and look nearby. When the spores that created the morel you just picked were jettisoned years ago, there likely was a wind pattern that blew the spores in a particular path. There may have been a nutrient source or environment, soil type, moisture, pH, etc., that was conducive for growth. Look for patterns. White morels, which appear later than the blacks, oh god, have a more diverse range of habitats. Forests, fields, orchards, finch rows, hedgerows, islands, railroad tracks, floodplains, and grown-over strip mines are just some of the places that the white and giant morels can be found. Unlike the blacks, the whites sometimes tend to congregate around certain types of tree, usually ones that are in the stage of dying: elm, ash, sycamore, cottonwood, bigger, older trees. As the trees die, the root system breaks down and are desirable and readily available food sources for morels. This availability of nutrients may allow the growth cycle to advance, shortening the five-year cycle. Good results occasionally can be found in consecutive years at the same location. Oh, I gotta go to another page. Why don't you guys tell me about this? Oh, I hate when people do that. I hate that. When you head out to the woods, wear long pants and long sleeve shirts for protections. We don't need to go through all that. Hunting. The Mushroom Walk is a low Groucho Marx-like walk that gets the Mushroom Hunter close to the ground. Crouch down and look 10 to 20 feet ahead, not around your feet, and look for the tiny Christmas tree shapes in the distance. Keep moving and investigating the shapes. You'll cover more ground and find more morels. It's a fallacy that pulling a mushroom out by its roots will prevent another from growing the next year. The, quotation marks, root system that brings the mushroom to the surface is a one-time, one-way system. It deteriorates through winter and the spring thaw, and is replaced each year. Cut or clip the morels' base to keep them clean. Mushroom hunters never tell where their favorite spots are. Don't ask bothering. Let's wait for the third page to load. Rehydrate in cool water for at least 2 hours. Using the caramel-colored water for soup, stock, or gravy. 2 ounces of dried morels will rehydrate to a 1 pound. What? 2 ounces of dried... Okay, wait... The easiest and longest-lasting method of preserving morels is drying. Place your unwashed, young, healthy specimen, whole or cut in half, on a non-metal screen directly in sunshine and raised off the ground for airflow. Harder reflective surfaces like deck or driveway below your screen will help the mushrooms dry more quickly. Do not leave drying or dried mushrooms outdoors overnight or allow rain to get on them. They will turn into gremlins. Do not wash the mushrooms before drying. The moisture can change the chemistry, making the morels hard or dark. Morels can also dry indoors on screens, but the process takes longer. Provide heat and air if possible. If you're concerned about bugs inside the mushrooms, cutting the mushrooms in half and placing them on the screen in the sun will eliminate critters. Yum. So, it may be too late now, maybe, but I think I will go morel hunting soon and put pictures on the Survival Punk Facebook page. And this episode will be really short, and then I can go to bed. So, one more thing to share with yous guys. I found this on Facebook. It's from theexaminer.com. And I'm going to run through it. You can go to the website, survivalpunk.com, click the link, and go through it all. This is 31 wild foods to forage in May. So, depending on where you live, all these may not be applicable. But this is 31 things that, you know, for this month that you can go find. Asparagus, wild asparagus. Cattail shoots. I've seen some of these. Oh, did you guys see that picture on Facebook? The ones that you got on Facebook. Where someone's like, look at these. I found these wild hot dogs. And they picked the cattails and put mustard on them. Funny. Are from the morel mushrooms. Spruce tips. Spruce. Why did I say that really? Spruce tips. Spruce tips. Wild violets. Both the leaves and the flowers are edible. Interesting. Nettles. For good lord, I've. For some reason, I can't find nettles. Like, I need to devote, like, I don't know, a whole week or something to just, like, foraging for nettles. Just because I know some nettles have got to be around me somewhere. So, sheep sorrel. I'm sure sheep sorrel... sheep sorrel has to be around me. This tart tender green is great in salads, cooked or used in dishes like spinach. Some also enjoy it added to mashed potatoes with the green onions. Ramps. It may be too late for ramps, but I think I've seen some around, and I'm going to pick some. Dandelions. Love them. You can find them everywhere. Lamb's quarters. This is another one that seems like I should... I can't find it, and I know it has to be around me, so I must be missing it, and I need to put more time into it. Pheasant black mushrooms. Curly dock. Like dandelion leaves, curly dock is best in spring and fall before the plant produces flowers. Chicory. The young leaves can be used in salads this time of the year, and you can pickle the flower buds. something, something, something. You can dry the root and make a sort of coffee extender. I've made a tea out of it, and it actually tastes fairly good. I've had chicory coffee. It's a chicory coffee blend in New Orleans, and I hated it though. So I like chicory by itself, but the New Orleans coffee tastes sort of medicated and gross. Chickweed, plantain. This is everywhere. I used some week before last. I got stung by a fucking wasp in the back of my neck. Like, I was coming next door. I was coming to my house from Mac's house, and there's a fucking dick-ass red wasp making a nest, like, on my doorway, and that bastard stung me. I killed him, of course. And I put plantain on it, and the next day I couldn't feel it. It was gone, so good job for plantain. And so while this common lawn weed is edible, it's more commonly gathered for skin tonics, duh, and medicinal uses. And it's supposed to be good if you eat it for tummy issues, so... Jewel weed. Never seen that. Queen Anne's lace. It's healthy and edible, also known as wild carrot. Huh. It's starting to bloom this month. Be careful about anything that is a wild carrot, because that's a big no-no. And my computer froze up. Fiddlehead ferns. It super froze up, guys. Fiddlehead ferns, this time of the year, is the only time to snatch up these well-loved delicacies. And there it just went. But be sure to get the right variety of ferns, ostrich ferns, and boil them for a few minutes for sautéing. Garlic mustard. Oh yes, I would love to find that. Burdock. Both the roots and the stalks of burdock are enjoyed by foragers. Learn how to use the stalks here. Shit biscuits. It's running slow, and I'm gonna smash my computer. It's this website. Let's see. Miner's lettuce. This is a terrible train wreck. Oh, there we go. Miner's lettuce. Mallow. The wild green has a mucilaginous quality like okra. Nope, don't want that. Pigweed. This invasive weed with a terrible name is the bane of farmers everywhere. And not the most sought after. Shit biscuits. This website makes me want to smash it. Number 27, Smilex. This is another invasive weed and tasty nutritious, also known as cat briar and green briar. You can use the tender ends like vines, tender ends of vines like green beans or asparagus, blah. Wine cap mushrooms, watcher leaf, cow parsnip greens, and lastly, thank goodness, black locust flowers. Did not know that at all. So that's it. Go out and find some wild edibles. That's all I got to say, you guys. Check out Green Dean's website, his YouTube channel, and get out there and start hunting. Find something. I like a personal survival rule of knowing 10 wild edibles in your personal area. Because obviously if a survival situation happens, it's probably going to be around you. And it's good to sort of, know where the stuff in your area is at. I don't need to know the wild edibles of the Amazon rainforest. Probably never going to be there. Probably not. Would be an awesome dream. Not going to happen though. So I know things around here. There's plantain out the door. There is a pine tree across the way. I know the things here. So I like that rule of 10. Find 10 things in your area. Find where they're at. Identify them. Try them. Make sure you don't have a crazy allergic reaction to them. And then you know. If you find one, and you find that you have an allergic reaction to it, make a note of that, and find another one. Because now you found something that you can eat. So, and on that bombshell, I'm going to wrap up a 35-minute show. Wow. And I read an article. So, you guys have a good day. I'm going to go to bed. Dear Wanda Hunt, Wild Edibles, you guys.